This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. This is Black History Month, and we have and will continue to mark the occasion by looking at Black history in a variety of ways. Through the rest of this month on Issues of the Environment, we're exploring issues of environmental justice and its impact on the African American community. Today, we'll take a look at some of the history of the environmental justice movement with one of the people who was there at the start. Dr. Paul Mohai is professor of environmental justice in the University of Michigan's School of Environment and Sustainability, and thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
While Earth Day and a much stronger look at the human impact on the environment got underway in the 1970s, it really wasn't until the 1980s the notion of race-based environmental justice kind of got kicked off. That sound about right to you?
Yes, I believe that's right. I think when we were talking about environmental problems in the 60s and 70s, I don't think anybody was aware that environmental pollution and other burdens fall disproportionately on African-American and other people of color communities, including myself. We tended to talk about environmental problems as affecting us all. And it wasn't until the early 1980s when a protest in Warren County, North Carolina, by an African-American community made national news, where people's perceptions began to change. And the controversy started because the state of North Carolina had decided to locate a major hazardous waste dump in this African-American community. It's the first such protest that made the national news, and it's also an event that triggered a chain reaction that eventually emerged as the environmental justice movement.
At the time, in the study of environmental justice issues, how much voice was given to the African-American community in identifying the problems and working up solutions at that early stage?
I would say very little, if anything. It took a while for people outside the African-American community to realize, and I'm talking about mostly the white, maybe affluent white, to know about this issue. The problem has emerged because of all the many years of racial discrimination and housing segregation and redlining that's resulted in very segregated neighborhoods across the U.S.
Our look at environmental justice continues on 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment, and we're talking with Dr. Paul Mohai from the University of Michigan School of Environment and Sustainability. You mentioned you really got active in the movement in the late 1980s. As we moved into the 90s during the Clinton presidency, that was when environmental racism really began to get noticed by the EPA and portions of the rest of the federal government. It was also about that time you co-authored a book called Race and Incidents of Environmental Hazards. Was one of the very first books to explore the links and dynamics of race, class, and environmental hazard.
Yes. Well, first, let me add that that book was really the result. My colleague, Professor Bunyan Bryant, who's now retired, he and I organized the conference. It took place, now 31 years ago. We held it January 1990, and we had invited all the people that we knew, other academics mainly, who were working in this area to come to Ann Arbor and to talk about their research. And the conference participants decided that we're going to write letters to the head of the EPA and also to the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, requesting a meeting with them so we could talk about environmental justice and racism and to get it on their radar screen. So we sent carbon copies to every member of the Congressional Black Caucus and to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus and to other key members of Congress. And on top of that, we sent copies to every governor of all 50 states, and it paid off because within weeks, we got an invitation to meet with the head of EPA. He already was making several proposals to us. One was to create an Office of Environmental Equity, which was later renamed the Office of Environmental Justice. It was also to create a formal advisory council that eventually became the National Environmental Justice Advisory Council. And then he also promised that he would create a work group to investigate the issue and to develop recommendations to address environmental disparities. And he made good on his word on all those things. He also promised to meet with us on a regular basis. They called us the Michigan Coalition because of our representation from our 1990 conference. And within a year and a half, EPA came out with a report called Environmental Equity, Reducing Risk for All Communities. at the time, it was heavily criticized by the environmental justice community for not going far enough. But I realized at that time that was a very significant report because it was the first written acknowledgement by any agencies of the federal government that environmental racism and injustice was a serious problem and that it needed to be addressed. Very quickly, bills were being introduced in Congress to address environmental justice, to make environmental justice a priority in their rulemaking.
And those were among the reasons the University of Michigan in 1992 became the first and only school in the country to launch an environmental justice program with undergraduate and graduate degree specializations. Is the importance of education and training underestimated as a part of the solution in moving us collectively to adequately address environmental racism?
That's a very good question. I see the role of academic institutions as two. One is to provide the research to better understand the issue and also to verify the claims of impacted communities. But there's also a lot more research that's been involved, including looking at the health consequences of being overburdened by environmental pollutants and also understanding cause and effect relationships. There's also been a lot of interest in understanding what policies will work and what others may not work. I think we're probably still kind of in the early stages on that. But going hand in hand with the research is also the teaching and education. And I have found there is a lot of interest among students. It's an opportunity to take the research and scholarship and try to make a positive contribution and difference in the world. They're very bright students that are interested in the environment and also social justice. And they often get involved in projects that also, in turn, make a difference. So I'm very proud of the work that our students have done, even before they have graduated.
This is 89.1 WEMU's Issues of the Environment as we continue our conversation with U of M Environment Justice Professor Dr. Paul Mohai. How would you rate corporate accountability when it comes to addressing environmental racism to this point?
That's an enormously good question. I think definitely more needs to be done. I'm not persuaded that corporations understand the problem, and I don't see much in the way of actions that they're taking. I think that's another large area for research. People who already are studying corporate behavior and corporate responsibility need to also look at the behavior of organizations and their sense of responsibility when their actions result in polluting and overburdening communities.
As part of that corporate accountability process, you have to also include national, state, and local policy and where regulation plays its role. Rate government accountability as it stands in 2021.
Harking back to the Flint water crisis, the Flint Water Advisory Task Force put most of the blame on what happened in Flint on the state government, particularly the governor's appointed emergency managers and also the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. A lot of what happened really resulted in people losing confidence in their government. Their concerns were not listened to or heard. And so it's an indication how important the government is and how important trust is. And trust is something that's always a question in any environmental justice controversy. I think we need to hold governments accountable, too, in terms of asking, well, what are their policies on this issue? What steps are they taking to try to address them? A lot of states are taking this issue seriously, but we haven't gone nearly far enough.
We are 30 years into the fight for environmental justice now. When you look to the future, do you see an end, or will environmental justice be a battle to be waged in perpetuity?
I don't have a crystal ball. I tend to be naturally an optimist anyway. It's hard for me to imagine that we can continue on with all the disparities and injustices. You know, there's been a lot of damage that's been created, so I don't think we're going to see all the solutions overnight, but I do believe that we'll see progress because I think that there's been so much that's happened in the last few years where frustration levels have gotten very high, but there's also a lot of activity and action which I think are going to lead to some concrete results. So, for example, in Michigan, one of the outcomes of the Flint water crisis was the Environmental Justice Working Group. I was a member of it. And we were charged with developing an environmental justice plan for Michigan so that we could avoid future Flint water crises. And we forwarded 33 recommendations. Gretchen Whitmer was elected as our new governor, and he issued an executive order that reorganized the Department of Environmental Quality, creating the now Department of Environment of Great Lakes and Energy. But in that same executive order, many of the recommendations that were forwarded to Governor Snyder were included. And some of the things that have already happened is the state has created an environmental justice public advocate. It's created interagency environmental justice response team consisting of the heads of the major agencies. And they also created the Michigan Advisory Council on Environmental Justice. I would say the environmental justice movement in Michigan is also very strong and very motivated. But I also see the same kind of energy and momentum at the national level in terms of developing environmental justice plans. All of that makes me hopeful. I think we're going in the right direction.
Well, I'd like to thank you for the time and sharing all your perspective today, Professor.
Well, thank you again for having me, and it was my pleasure.
That is Dr. Paul Mohai, an environmental justice professor in the University of Michigan School of Environment and Sustainability. Issues of the Environment, it's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and you hear it each Wednesday. To get more information on today's topic and to access the archive, visit WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.